Today, a look behind the scenes of State Issue 2. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy, Barry Sheets. And along with me is my co-host and good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Looking forward to shedding more light.
And rather than heat. That's the thing. Folks, if you've been with us this week, we've been talking about the three state ballot issues that you're going to see on your November 8th ballot. Monday and Tuesday, we talked about State Issue 1. Yesterday, we began a discussion, which honestly, Chuck, as we've looked at this, I think is going to probably stretch us all the way through Friday, of talking about probably the most contentious ballot issue in the entire nation this fall.
Oh, it has
state
to be.
Issue, Ohio State Issue 2, a referendum on the law passed by the Ohio Republicans in the General Assembly. And I'm going to be honest about that. I don't think it's got a single Democrat vote, even though, and they're not in the majority, so, you know, they could pass this without the Democrat vote. Amended Substitute Senate Bill Number 5, or SB 5, as it's more commonly known and in some circles loved and in some circles reviled. But, folks, like I said, like we said yesterday, you've heard a lot of heat, because if you've seen the television ads from both sides, or the radio spots, or you've gotten the slick mailers in your mailboxes, all you're hearing is propaganda. Has a little bit of truth in it, makes a couple, states a couple of facts, but doesn't really get down to the nitty-gritty of what this thing's really all about. And we think that's a disservice, ladies and gentlemen. That's the reason why the Institute for Principled Policy exists. We don't think it's fair to you as a voter to only go to the ballot with partial information.
Yep.
We think that you really need to understand and unpack the background behind this. Now, what we have here is a bill that was brought forward this spring by Republican Senator Shannon Jones. And Senator Jones brought this bill forward that would make changes to Ohio's 28-year-old collective bargaining law. Now, the collective bargaining law is a set of statutes that deals with the structure of how public employers, that's government entities, ladies and gentlemen, that's things like your school boards, your
fire districts,
your municipal corporations, city councils, how they deal when they sit down at the negotiating table with public employees, i.e. union labor that operate in the public sector, whether they be teachers, firefighters, policemen, or whether they be maintenance workers, janitors, bus drivers, you have it, whatever you have, state people will answer the telephone at a state agency, could be a collective bargaining employee. Those are the folks in Ohio who are paid by our tax dollars and who negotiate with other elected officials who utilize our tax dollars to negotiate those salaries, benefits, etc. For 28 years, we've had collective bargaining in the state of Ohio. Before that, basically, Ohio was an open state, or what you would used to call a right-to-work state. Now we have a state where, at least in the public sector, it's unionized. In part, because when I worked in the state government, when I worked in the state legislature, I was what is known as an exempt employee. That meant that I was not under the collective bargaining agreement, which meant that whatever they negotiated as for what their pay scale was, or whatever step increases they got, or salary adjustments that were automatic, didn't apply to me. My salary got set by my boss, just like in the private sector. And I negotiated for it when I negotiated to come in and work for the state government, for the state legislature. You know, we sat down, they said, this is what we pay. And I had a choice of saying yes or no. And I said, yes. Now I don't get to come back in about 6 months and say, well, you know what? I found that I don't like that pay scale, or I think those benefits are a little chintzy. So I'm going to strike until you give me what I want.
Yeah.
See, I had no option to do that, but collective bargaining employees do. And that's why Senate Bill 5 was put forward, was to say, okay, we've had 28 years of this, and things are getting difficult in our economy, and so we need to make some changes. Now, does this do away with collective bargaining totally and take us to be a right-to-work state? No, not even close. Not even close. What this does, it does a number of things. And boy, we could just exhaust you ad infinitum with all the issues that it does, but we wanted to touch on a handful of them. Some of them we think are probably fairly good common sense, And some of them, as we've discussed offline, Chuck and I have discussed, that honestly, we don't see how these things would ever stand up to court scrutiny because of some of the issues that they bring up. Now, again, like we're saying, that this law is not all good, and it's not all bad either. But that's not the choice you have as a voter when you come to November the 8th. You either have to approve it as it stands or reject it as it stands. You can't take part of it and say, well, we like these parts and we want to keep those, and we don't like these parts and we don't want to keep those. So either way this happens, we're going to end up going to have more on this issue and on the whole idea of public employees bargaining and how our public employers are going to have to deal with that, regardless of whether this law stands or falls in November. So some of the things that it deals with, now Chuck, we talked about this one,
right?
Strikes. Now, as you know, like I said, if you are in a union, you can use a strike, and that's a work stoppage. You can go out and get on the picket line and carry your signs, or sit around and I'm not making this up, you know, get the big oil cans and start the fires in them to keep your hands warm, because oftentimes they happen in the
winter.
Burn
old beat up 2x4s
or whatever it is,
warm,
you know, whatever the visual that you like to have over this, you know, you can do that. Well, what this law would do is say, hey, wait a minute, if you're a public employee, a teacher, law enforcement, safety personnel, firefighter, guys, you can't strike, okay? You don't like your conditions, we can talk about it, but you can't strike. Now, we know that a law is only as good as it's enforced. This one, the provision, says that you're prohibited from striking. Well, oftentimes we know they're probably going to say, well, we're going to strike anyway. Some groups are going to do that. Some locals are going to say, well, we're going to go on strike, we don't care what the law says. What happens if they do strike? Well, the bill puts a provision in there to require the public employer, whether that be the municipal government or the school board or whomever it might be, to deduct from the compensation of a striking employee an amount equal to twice the employee's daily rate of pay for each day or part thereof that the employee engaged in a strike. So in other words, for every day you go out on strike, you're losing 2 days' pay. Now, that's punitive. That's
right.
A fine.
And which an administrative body cannot administer without recourse to a court.
See, and that's the reason why Chuck and I are saying, okay, one part of it, prohibiting them from striking is probably a good thing, because, hey, if you've got kids in school, you don't want the teachers walking out on the picket line and saying, well, Johnny's not going to learn anything today because we didn't get enough vacation time. Or Janie is not going to be able to participate in her extracurriculars because we don't like the kind of food that's in the teacher's lounge. You know, we don't want that kind of thing, because teachers are hired to impart knowledge into children whose parents choose to send them to the public school system. So they're doing something that's important enough that striking and going out on the picket lines and disrupting the educational process is not a good thing. You don't want your police getting a massive case of what they call the blue flu, where they decide that they're just going to, like, take a lot of their sick leave or just not show up for work, or worse, go out on the picket lines when they should be investigating robberies, assaults, dealing with issues. I mean, even if it's dealing with a kid's bicycle getting stolen. That's what we pay for our police and security personnel in our cities and in our communities. We don't want them going out on strike saying, well, we don't like what the pay you're giving us, so we're not going to protect you anymore. We also don't want our firefighters saying, well, you know, because we didn't get this bonus that we wanted, we're going to let that house down the street burn down because we're all standing out here with our picket signs. We don't want that, and I'm not saying that they do that all the time. So before the angry calls and emails start coming in, I'm not trying to stereotype. I'm trying to create a theoretical scenario to say the idea of saying a public employee probably shouldn't strike is probably not a bad idea. But on the other hand, the whole idea of saying if you do strike, you're going to get fined 2 days' pay for each day you're out, we think isn't going to withstand court scrutiny. And honestly, I'm not sure why it's in here in the first place.
Well, there's an interesting argument here that just kind of popped into my mind, and that is that public employees are always constantly arguing that you can't survive without us, that we are an absolute necessity, and therefore we can use our absolute necessity status to go on strike and shut down those services. And the fact is, well, if you're that necessary, then why should you be able to strike and destroy the way society is operating?
See, yeah, that one's a two-edged sword for them, and as people think through it, I think they're going to understand that's a problem. But again, I think the solution that our legislators came up with, the cure is probably worse than the disease. I mean, you know, a workman,
in this case,
a workman is worthy of his wage and a fair day's pay for a fair day's work. But if you choose not to work that day, well, yeah, well, if a man will not work, then neither should he eat. The Bible says. So, yeah, if they're going to go on strike, they shouldn't get paid. Their pay, their benefits, their accrual of time all should stop until they go back to work. Let's say I was out of as a private sector employee, if I had used up my vacation time and I had used up in my sick leave what little bit I got, and we're going to be talking about that issue a little bit later, too, because they get a lot. I didn't realize how much it was until I started looking into the
right.
provisions
it's
of this bill.
It's gigantic.
It's gigantic. But the point is, when I use it all up and I have a doctor's appointment or whatever, I can't just take off and say, hey, I don't feel like coming to work today, but you're going to pay me anyway for the day that I wasn't there. I don't get that. I usually get you either get a mark for absent without leave, you get a pink slip, or you just lose day's pay.
You don't get that because you work for yourself, and if you don't work, you starve.
But even when I worked in the private sector and I worked in the restaurant industry,
that's right, and I worked in manufacturing.
So you know, those are the type of things you just can't do. But you know, our public sector employees who are in unions seem to be able to do that. They can go out on strike whenever they vote within their collective bargaining unit to say, we don't like the way things are going right now.
Wildcat strike.
They can do a wildcat strike or whatever, and that they still get paid. So that's a big problem. Now, the other thing one of the other things this does is that, you know, and it talks about bargaining units and representation, and those are all kind of inside baseball things as to which union leaders are going to represent which unions and who gets to represent whom. Those are really just not that big of an issue. The issue of subjects that are inappropriate for collective bargaining. So this is where you're hearing a lot on some of the ads, because you hear the police and fire talking about they can't negotiate for safety equipment. Well,
or for the proper number of personnel.
Now, the point is that
in the current economic situation, if they win this issue, then many of them, as you have said, I'm paraphrasing you. If they win, they lose.
Now, if they win, they lose, because if they win, overturn. Now, again, if they lose, they lose too. Okay, this section's a no-win situation for the public employees, because if they're successful in repealing this bill, public employers right now, because of the economy, are going to have no other options but to start laying off people right and left, service personnel, safety personnel, and yeah, some of those who are elected officials will take a hit at the ballot box, but you know what? It won't be that they'll vote in anybody else. They'll take a look at the economic numbers and say that anything else can be done.
Here's what I predict you'll see if they win. You will see public employee unions going to court to get judges to order tax increases to pay salaries. But salaries are not the issue as much as benefits and retirement.
Yes.
Those are what pensions are killing the system.
Mm-hmm. See, now this is the thing again, and I think that our legislators were probably wrong in this. So I guess for the public employees, I kind of feel for this, although I think what they're doing is they're playing on people's fears by talking about the safety equipment. Because really what it gets down to is this new law would permit public employers to not bargain at all on any subject considered reserved to management and direction of the governmental unit. In other words, and that includes wages, hours, terms and conditions of employment. Well, those are kind of the basic things that a collective bargaining agreement's there for, is to negotiate your wages, your hours, and the conditions of your employment.
Yeah.
So, honestly, this, I think, goes a little beyond the pale in that respect. However, saying that doesn't mean that the law necessarily should be overturned, because this is one of those issues that as they continue forward with this, and whether if it passes, there are other ways of cracking the same nut.
Well, let's explain that tomorrow because we're out of time.
All right. Well, we'll be back tomorrow with more on State Issue 2.